Blog Talk Radio.
All right, race fans. Y'all know what time it is. It's Race Chat Live. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, buddy. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Loud and clear. Good deal. No hiccups today. I want to thank y'all for tuning in to our weekly scheduled podcast. Of course, it's me and Moore on the other side, Chris and Craig, Race Chat Live. Got a lot to talk about tonight. Excited that we've got our first guest on of the season. We'll get with her here in just a little bit, but it's the season started. The snow's starting to dry up, I guess, up north. Am I right, Craig?
I don't know what part of the north you're talking about, but it ain't drying up here.
Oh no.
We got 3 more inches Saturday night into Sunday, but the good thing is it's the weather's starting to turn.
So Punxsutawney Phil.
He was on the Maury. Yeah, he was on the Maury Povich show, and he took a lie detector, and it was proven that he did in fact lie. So he is.
Was it a 99.9% chance that he was a liar?
Correct. Correct. So Punxsutawney Phil is on the Fulton Montgomery County most wanted list. So
wow, definitely.
But
hey, definitely.
We got some exciting.
Oh, great! Love exciting news. How about that, Greg Moore? What you got?
Well, earlier this evening on my way home, I spoke to the Orange County Fair Speedway media director down in Orange County, New York. And they're celebrating their 100th year in 2019. And they're going to be our guests April 1st to talk about. They usually do a race called Eastern States, and that's when all the big block modified guys from all over the East Coast, kind of like you guys have for the Pro Stock Nationals or the Street Stock Nationals down there in
right.
Mississippi. Well, we get them all up here in Orange County, New York. And they race for 200 laps, about $60,000. Well,
wow. To the winner or a purse?
That's the purse.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good purse.
Now, they have a race coming up August 15th, 16th, 17th weekend. It's the purse, but I don't know how they're dispersing it. Is going to be, are you ready? $100,000.
Wait a minute. $100,000.
Yes.
Wow. That's a lot of money. That's the guaranteed purse money for
guaranteed.
100 years, $100,000.
So,
wow. I'd love to do the promo on that one.
Oh, well, you cut it and we'll do it. I'll send it to them. But they're going to be our guests April 1st at 8:30. And then I just got off the phone with a former Daytona 500 winner's wife/manager. And he will be joining us April 22nd. That is the week before Talladega. Probably one of the most unpredictable races on the entire NASCAR schedule, except for the Roval.
Yeah.
Derek Cope will be joining us April 22nd.
The 1990 Daytona 500 winner.
Correct.
Wow. So we've got our fingers crossed. We had him scheduled for last year as well, but things just didn't work out. But we're going to give him one more chance here on Race Chat Live. Yeah, he had a big excursion to go out to in, I believe, Arizona, if I'm not mistaken, the SEMA convention. So it was just wrong timing then, but hopefully we've got him locked in. As Craig Moore said, that's a week before Talladega, April 22nd, and no better than to have, a small-budget team Derek Cope's team and the 00 Landon Castle to have them on, possibly a week before they win, because you get to Talladega, anything can happen. Craig Moore, as we've seen it many times before at that track down there in the great state of Alabama.
Listen, I got one more for
you.
We
can never really
on.
Say the great state of New York, right? I mean, you don't ever hear that often, do you? Okay,
well,
go ahead.
Yeah, we do. When they when Cuomo gets voted out in 4 years, we'll hear the great state of New York.
Wait a minute. What about the Knicks owner, real quick? Telling the fan. Okay, hopefully you guys seen it already. If not, but the owner of the Knicks catches a lot of heat and a lot of heck. But this time he was heckled by a fan in the stands, and as he was walking by, he said, "Sell the team," and the balls on the owner to walk up with a grin on his face and say, "What did you say?" And eventually, without really any ruckus, Craig Moore, that owner said, "You're going to be watching these games from the couch. I guess, as Mama said, you better." You need to watch what you say and who you say it to sometimes, because he may not have gotten hit in the mouth, but I guarantee you that jaw was on the ground like he was hit in the mouth.
Oh, absolutely.
But go ahead, Craig.
But,
I'm sorry.
But, hey, I may have one more for us here on Race Chat Live.
Interesting.
See, I do a lot of work. I do a lot of work between 5:05 p.m. on Monday night and 7:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, you're sitting there playing.
That's like
race.
Your study hall, right? This is your weekly study hall time. Is that what you're talking?
Yeah, pretty much. I spoke to Rick Ware Racing, who fields cards in the Xfinity Series and the Monster Energy Cup Series team, and I am awaiting confirmation on a date to have them on the show. So it might
well,
be Rick Ware.
If you can't get Matt, you might as well get Cody, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
we don't want to blow that interview there, and I doubt either one of us would have the kahunas to ask anything about it. Plus, you know what? That's yesterday's news. There was plenty of news this week, Craig Moore. I hope that you were given a chance to watch this race, especially if you're going to talk about it later on this evening.
Well, I did watch a little bit here, but I'm going to tell you something. I watched Motormouth last week on MSNBC. I think that's what it was. NASCAR America's Motormouth with everybody's favorite redneck, Rutledge
yeah.
Wood.
Yeah.
Everybody's
right.
Least favorite driver, Kyle
show,
Petty.
Right? I mean, I don't mean to step on top of it, but I was very interested in this.
It is a call-in show, and I forget about it, because usually Wednesday nights I'm prepping for my weekend gigs. And there was a lot of comparisons between Richard Petty and Kyle Busch. And Kyle Petty was getting quite aggravated.
I imagine so, right? Come on.
Well, he said, and I'm not quoting, but he goes, "These are two different racers from two different eras." He says, they came up in different times. Now, Petty did it
now,
when they
what
raced
racer
through.
Are we talking about here, Craig? Let's make sure that if anybody has been on Mars for the last 10 years, they may not know that Kyle Busch is creeping in on their 200th win. And
yeah,
Kyle
he's 199.
Petty, the son of the hierarchy, the king, you know, he was defending the throne, as you would say.
Yeah, and, you know, people are making a big deal of it, and, yes, it's a huge accomplishment. But when Richard Petty won his 200 races when they were racing three times a week, now Kyle Busch has raced an average of three times a week for the last 10 years, 12 years, but he's done it in three different series. In the Cup Series, he took his 52nd checkered flag this past Sunday at Phoenix. The next one above him is big milestone, is Jimmy Johnson. Then you have Jeff Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's making a big deal out of Kyle Petty winning 199, possibly 200 races. He's won 200 races over three series. He hasn't won 200 races in one particular series. He's got, is he the greatest of all time in this generation? Yes.
Wow.
Is
very,
he the
very early
he,
thoughts, very early thoughts for this, Greg.
Is he the greatest driver of all time? No.
I don't know.
I don't
believe. His career's not over. I mean, we
no,
talk about his lack of
another
championships, but, you know, who knows? He could bust five off. You know, look at what Jimmy Johnson did. And let me tell you something. There's no hotter driver right now in the Cup Series than Kyle Busch. And he's gone out on a ruckus. He's won quite a few races the last couple of weeks here. I think he's got four already this year, including two Truck Series wins, two Xfinity wins.
No. I'll give it to him.
I mean, the guy's got a 75% winning percentage in based off his starts in the Truck Series and in Xfinity, a 75% winning percentage. How is that even possible?
Well, good equipment, and he has it. He employs all the right people, and he employs all the right people in all the right places.
I've heard for so many years people downgrade Kyle Busch and this and that. I think what he's about to do, Craig Moore, is a plateau that will never be reached again. As I had this discussion before, they said that they would never have another driver win 200 wins in NASCAR. I never heard them say in Cup. And let me tell you something else. If you meet a dirt track driver, or you meet an asphalt driver, or you meet freaking Kyle Busch or Richard freaking Petty, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. I want you to put your ears real close to the phone. You know what you met, my brother? Do you know what you met, my brother? You met an American badass. That's what you met. Yeah, I put it there. Yeah, you have met an American badass. I don't care if he's a dirt track driver. I don't care if he's an asphalt driver. I don't care if he's a sprint car driver. I don't care if he races lawnmowers. If he's got 200 wins, Craig Moore, you are in front of an American badass.
Well, I agree with you. He is.
Where's the music coming from?
Well, that is Miss Dana's phone.
Yeah, okay, I thought you were trying to play some Western music with my redneck call, but go ahead.
No, that is Dana's. Ringtone on her phone.
No phone's in the studio.
You should hear the one she has for the morning when she wakes up.
Oh, goodness gracious. Anyway, back on topic.
So, Kyle Busch, yes. Do I think he's the greatest of all time? Not really. Do I think he has the wherewithal to get there? Abso-freaking-lutely.
What's the best word for this? Y'all help me out. I wish I had CJ Sports here, who's a little bit more intelligent than both of us. Whether it's good news or bad news, it seems to start with Kyle Busch. And that kind of person having that kind of power in NASCAR, we've not seen this since a Dale Earnhardt. We've not seen this since a Jeff Gordon. We've not seen this since, you know, a Jimmy Johnson. Kyle Busch has a way that sets himself above most. And when we're talking about American badasses, we're talking about people with a lot of wins, okay? And Kyle Busch has to sit right there at the top of them. Yes, he is the greatest of this time. And there may be somebody that comes along that's maybe, you know, made different than Kyle Busch. I think that Kyle Busch is the most mesmerizing driver in the Cup garage. And to be honest with you, without a guy like him, what do me and you really have to talk about? Because most of the time we're judging these races off of whether or not he won or lost. You tell me another driver right now that has that kind of influence in the Cup garage or in any racing league. I mean, you know, every racing league has their important people, like Lewis Hamilton of the F1, Joseph Newgarden. He seems to have taken IndyCar by surprise. Look, Will Power's been in that position for a while now, but here comes Joseph Newgarden. You know, he's the face of IndyCar and will be the face of IndyCar for the next few years. know, this is the cycle. And you know, for all the people that have bitched and moaned about Kyle Busch, sit back. He's only going to be around for a little while longer, but watch him go, man. I mean, respect the kid. He's accomplished things that probably no one else will ever be able to accomplish, Craig Moore.
Well, let's switch gears, and then we'll let CJ. Or go ahead, CJ.
I have one question, and then also have kind of a comment as well. When we talk about the greatest, and we talk about the 200 wins, how Richard Petty did it, and the three times a week, a lot of times racing versus Kyle Busch. Correct me if I'm wrong, but back in Kyle Petty's day, Richard Petty's day, my bad. Whoa.
That was an insult.
Wow.
Yes. Calling anybody Kyle Petty is an insult. But anyway, if I'm correct, in those days, if you had the money and the backing, such as STP, you had the better car, the better motors, the newer stuff, versus today where it's not quite even, but NASCAR tries to make the play field a little bit more even, and it's more on the driver versus who's got the money. Yes, you got your Hendrick, you got your Joe Gibbs. Yes, the teams that have the money, yes, have a little bit more of an advantage. But every year, NASCAR tries to change the rules to narrow that gap, to try to make it as even as possible, so your young teams and your underfunded teams have just as much of an opportunity to win. Am I correct on that?
Right. Well, back in the old day, Mr. CJ Sports, they was an entertainment thing. NASCAR was trying to put their name on the map. Richard Petty was about the only driver that would follow the whole circuit. He had manufacturing support. There's rumors that he had bigger motors than everybody. Of course, if he's traveling around to racetracks to be the show, it's kind of like the beginning of Bigfoot, when Bigfoot created this whole era of Monster Jam, you know. But we seem to always go back to when the point system changed, and that was 1972, I believe, and then Darrell Waltrip said it in the program. Back when I was, you know, coming through the ranks, they always said the post-era greats. In other words, after 1970, a lot changed in NASCAR, and that was the modern era. So anything before that was pre-modern era, and it really didn't have as much stick to it. So we've only fell in love with this persona of Richard Petty's 200 wins since, obviously, Richard Petty started going downhill when he was no longer performing. They had to build up this humongous platform for who NASCAR said was the king of racing, and that's Richard Petty. No doubt that he didn't accomplish great things, but at the same time, it was kind of a publicity stunt in the first place.
So that kind of leads to my question. I know that there's a lot of controversy. Well, Busch does it across three series. Richard Petty did it in the Cup Series. But then you also got to take into consideration the advantage that Richard Petty may or may not had back in the day with the backing, the funding, and the really was not about the driver in those days. It was more about who had the money, go out there and win, you know. So to me, I'm not going to don't turn this into, I'm Mr. CJ Sports is saying, Kyle Busch is the greatest of all time. I think that when it's all said and done, this could be a very serious conversation by the time Busch retires. But I think a lot of people don't take that into consideration, other than the fact that they just straight up hate Kyle Busch, and there's no way that anybody, except for those that like Kyle Busch, will ever want to admit Kyle Busch being the greatest of all time. But I don't think a lot of people take in that consideration. Yes, it's across three series, but yes, the playing field is a little more even now, especially in the Cup Series. I'm not going to say so much in the Xfinity and the Truck Series. So, and we also take in the fact that he was kind of the redheaded stepchild over Hendrick, and so, you know, it was the Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson show in those days, and I feel Kyle Busch kind of got what was left over a lot of times. And then to your point earlier, what you said about influential, yes, I think that Kyle Busch is one of the most, if not the most influential, as a matter of fact, I think he's the most influential racer of today. I think he passed Earnhardt Jr. before Jr. even retired. I think just people were infatuated on Jr. and the most popular driver. But rules changed. Things were done differently because what Kyle Busch was accomplishing. Now we're going to limit how many races you can do in the other series. we're going to change the rules, what you can do here. We're going to do change the rules, what you can do there, because what Kyle Busch was doing, not
it's
because
the Kyle
of anybody
Busch
else.
Rule.
It's kind of like LeBron James and the Brady rule. And every sport has that one person that has come across the sport and was so influential. He revolutionized the sport, and things had to change because of that one person. And Kyle Busch, above anybody else in this sport, I would have to say, has been that person that has – been the most influential person, whether you like him or not, on NASCAR.
Richard Petty did it. Dale Earnhardt did it. Jeff Gordon changed the sport. Now this is Kyle Busch's league, and we're just playing in it, man. I mean, it is what it is, and the kid, he's no longer a kid. The guy is he has a trophy house. He doesn't even have a trophy case, guys. He has a trophy house. Okay, what he's been able to accomplish, without a doubt. You know, been victory lane again this weekend. Swept the weekend. How about that? I mean, you know, some people can call it a Kyle Busch show, but. You know, the guys on a rail. You know, they've said we're not going to have the big three this year, but it kind of looks like, other than Harvick maybe hanging out there in the middle of the standings, I think he's third or fourth in the standings. The big three, Martin Truex Jr., I think back-to-back second place finishes. You know, it looks like things are rolling right along kind of the same way as 2018.
Well, listen, I just want to say something. Kyle Busch did pass post-race inspection, so this the award is still up for grabs as to whose win is going to get taken away first. And so Harvick still got a shot at that. I just want to let you know.
Yeah, I also want to point out that four races, four different winners, guys, in the Cup Series. You know, as much as we want to say this big three or this, that, and the other, we've had parity. We've had, four different tracks, four different winners. That's the kind of start that we want for the 2019 race season. Four different weekends. We've been the most watched program on TV for the weekend. Four straight weekends we've seen an increase in ratings. Four straight weekends we've had the president of NASCAR, Mr. Big Jim France, I should say, in the Cup garage, interacting with the people of NASCAR, interacting with those guys in the garage, interacting with the owners. We have seen a big change already, and I'm not going to be giving out a grade today, but I do believe that we're moving in the right direction, yes.
Correct.
Oh, I believe we are too.
Did you say it was the most? You said it was the most watched sport before last four weekends, correct?
Yes.
Now, come on, I'm a NASCAR guy. NASCAR is number one in my life. Well, let's be fair and honest. Now, there ain't been nothing on for the last 4 weeks. There's nothing else.
Look at you. I'm trying to pull some little fake news here. Okay, I'm trying to squeeze something in that sounds good.
If we can roll through March Madness and you say the same thing, then I'll start saying there's some serious change. Well, come on now, let's be fair. And I have a question for both of y'all. Let's say that Cup Series is running on average three times a week. Do either one of you think at this point of Kyle Busch's career, or let's say by the time he retired, if Cup did run three times a week like they did back in the day, do either one of y'all think that Kyle Busch could have had 200 wins in the Cup Series?
I think by far that if they would have ran three times a week, he would be well over 200. But,
yeah, I mean, they do. He does run three times a week, and he's rolling in on 200.
I think if
NASCAR was racing 3 days a week in the same cars every time, then, who knows? I know that NASCAR used to have a convertible series, so – you know, if it was convertible, but it was the same car, you know, I think he would be right where he is now. That's the thing about a badass driver. He's going to be up on the top no matter what he drives. And, you know, I think that this is the Busch League, and you got to unthrone him if you're going to do anything. Busch.
I find myself dragging that Busch out even when I saw Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
Well, listen. Listen, before we get too far into this, coming up at the bottom of the hour, which is in about 5 minutes, Krista Nicole Travis is going to be joining us, and we've had her on before, but she's going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour, like I said. So, Jay, DJ, let us know when she's there. She should be there in a couple of minutes, and we'll patch her in.
Okay.
Yeah, first of all, there's 38 on the entry list. There's an echo in the background, y'all. It keeps catching me off guard. So we have 38 on the entry list for the Cup side. We've got 37 on the entry list for the Xfinity side. I think we're down one car on the Xfinity side, but up two cars over on the Cup side. There's not been an announcement of who's going to be driving that Spire Motorsports car, the 77. We're going to have to keep our eye on that team. The Quinn, I can't pronounce his last name, Hoff. He was not up to speed. As a matter of fact, they were about 16 miles an hour off the pace in qualifying. I think that team has to really step it up. I'm not sure the direction that they're going. Of course, if you don't know about the Spire Motorsports team, that's the former Furniture Row Racing team. They bought the charter to it. They are a marketing firm, Spire Motorsports, and they are fielding a Cup team, but it doesn't really look like they're fielding a team. It kind of looks like they're just kind of taking the winnings from the top, because as NASCAR rolls with the charter system, they're getting payouts for a second or third place outing for the championship bid of last year. So they actually get paid more in the payouts because of the charter, because of where the charter finished last year. And that's one of the benefits here of buying the charter. I know that probably for most of y'all, the charter system is confusing. And hopefully, with the leadership of Jim France, some of this stuff will become either easier to explain or just done away with all completely and a new idea implemented. Of course, my father, Steve Creighton, he can't stand that idea of the charter system. I would like to bring him on one night and allow him to vent his frustration that he has with the charter system, and probably have just an open discussion about it. But we've still got plenty of things to talk about here tonight.
Listen,
before y'all continue on, because I didn't get a number for our guests, and I have a lot of people in the studio. If you are our guest tonight, Krista, please hit the number one on your phone. That notifies me to let me know that you are one of these numbers that is in the studio. That's okay, your guest is here, guys. I'm going to mute myself. I'm going to let you guys take over. I'm going to go ahead and plug the guest in.
Okay, sounds great.
And your guest is in.
All right, welcome to Race Chat Live. Craig Moore, you want to take it from here?
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this young lady is phenomenal. Her season started just a couple of weeks ago. Want to welcome Krista Nicole Travis to Race Chat Live. Krista, how are you, young lady?
I'm doing pretty good. How are y'all tonight?
You know what? We're fair to Midland. If it ever warms up here in upstate New York, I'll just be peachy.
I'm telling you, if it ever quits raining here, I think we'll be all right.
Well, we'll take your rain. You take our snow.
Craig Moore, it has honestly not stopped raining here since I think around before Thanksgiving. It's amazing all the moisture that we've gotten.
Amen.
Yeah, we just needed to drive up so we can go racing. Ain't that right, Krista?
That is so right, man. I'm ready. I got the racing fever, and I'm ready to go.
I tell you what, now you guys started your season already, right? Y'all were down at the Talladega Short Track for the Ice Bowl back in January, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah, that's where we normally start our season out at, is Talladega. You know, we really don't get much of an off season around here. You get maybe a few weeks off, and then you're right back into, you know, the new year. So every year we start up at the Ice Bowl, and this year we had a pretty fast car. You know, just luck wasn't on our side. We got in a wreck in the heat race, and it ended our weekend. You know, but I know some of our race tech teammates, they had a good weekend down there, and you know, we still had fun no matter what our luck ended up being, but, you know, it was an all right start to the season, just wish we had better luck.
Well, luck is certainly a part of it, but skill is too. Why don't, for the people that have never heard you, and I'm sure you've got a lot of people listening, but for those of those folks listening in that don't know much about you, tell us, I know that you started when you were racing when you were like 15, 16, but take us how the buzz started for you, the bug started to race, and then up to where you're at now.
Yeah, so I've been around racing my whole life. You know, my whole family races ever since I was a baby, you know, even whenever I was in my mom's stomach, I was around racing, you know, so straight out the window, I was at the racetrack. So, you know, I mean, it's definitely been a part of my life, you know, from the get-go. And, you know, around here at Duck River, we used to have a rookie class that we could start at 12. And, you know, I kept bugging my dad, bugging him. I'm like, you know, I'm ready to race. I'm ready to go. And he's like, no, you know. And then finally a deal came up when I was 16 that he just couldn't turn down. And, you know, ever since then we've been wide open. You know, we started out 4 cylinders in that rookie class. And, you know, then we moved on up to kind of like a super pony deal where we ran KMSA and traveled with them for a little bit. And then we moved up to Pure Stock for a couple seasons. And then we moved up to Neesmith Street Stock, which is now Durant Swain Street Stock. And, you know, the past couple of seasons we've been running that class, you know, traveling with a couple of series. And this year we have a very busy schedule running 2 series, the Quicksilver Performance Street Stock Series and the Mid-South Big Ten Series, also with a bunch of big money races going on, you know, so that's kind of where we're at now. I also used to run a little bit of asphalt, too, but that's out of the picture now.
Yeah, I remember last year you had an asphalt car. This is Chris Creighton. Now, you said that there was something about a new series that y'all are going to be running. Y'all are going to be able to open that motor up a little bit more in this new series, right?
The Quicksilver, yeah, well, they run the 383 motors that's by Quicksilver. We have one of them, and they're awesome. You know, we ran the Tulip Bowl at Clark School, and we didn't have much luck there. Then Friday night we got in a wreck and got the car tore up, but the 383 motors are pretty fast, so I'm pretty excited to run that series, see how those motors, you know, do compared to the 602 crates that we normally run. And we got a busy schedule. Then we got 13 races scheduled with Mike Hodges and his series.
Wow.
Busy schedule already planned out, Craig. So you started in January. We're rolling into March. What's next on schedule there, Krista?
Next is actually going to be this weekend at Tennessee National Raceway. It's another Quicksilver series race. It's going to be the Icebreaker. It's a one-day show. It's Saturday. It's a really good show. I enjoy racing at Tennessee National. So, you know, last year we ran there and we had a pretty good run. So I'm excited to go back there and get back dirty.
Now, you've got some great help, Race Tech. Explain to us, as we are getting to know Race Tech, what exactly do they add when you're under their umbrella?
Oh, man, Race Tech, you couldn't ask for any better people. You know, Daryl Beckham and Harris Crew, you know, we joined forces with them last year, and, you know, ever since then, it's been nothing but great. And, you know, from the time we pull off the track, they're over there helping us, you know, asking what we need, what we can do to make the car better, you know. And actually, my car's there getting fixed right now. We got the wreck, you know, a couple weekends ago. But, you know, from talking to them on the phone, you know, super nice people. I mean, it, you know, when we first took my car there to – the first time it hit the track, I could definitely tell a difference, you know, and I definitely recommend them to anyone who's looking, you know, for that extra speed they're needing or that extra setup they're needing that they just can't get, you know, it right. And, you know, my car has always been tight and we could never get it figured out. And, you know, we struggled a little bit. And ever since then, you know, we took it to Daryl and then, you know, the car's been perfect. Couldn't ask for nothing better. So
you're telling
you know,
me right now, Krista, that thing's not pushing like a dump truck. And you can say this because of Race Tech technology.
Yeah, it's not pushing like a dump truck no more. It used to, but it's not no more.
Well, I tell you what, that could be mean and green there at the checkered flag when you have a car that's not pushing like a dump truck. Now, Krista, have you already raced this this bigger motor? And if you have, what's your feedback so far on the difference in the handling of the car? Basically, it's the same chassis, right, just a different motor.
Yeah, definitely. It's the same chassis. Everything's the same. We just, you know, put that 383 in there for these, the Quicksilver races. And, you know, from what I could tell from Friday night, I mean, really can't tell much of a difference, you know, in the chassis-wise, but, you know, horsepower, you can definitely tell a difference. And I think it's going to be beneficial, you know, whenever we get some of the bigger tracks where, you know, that horsepower comes into play. But, you know, we were definitely satisfied with the motor and how it, you know, handled and everything. Just wish we would have had better luck to, you know, really seeing how it would have turned out.
All right, Krista, I got a question for you. Toilet Bowl at Clarksville Speedway. How do you know how they came up with that name for that race?
It's amazing.
I came up with that name.
I'm looking at the schedule. I'm on your website, and I'm looking at the schedule, and, like, the 16th of February, you raced at Winterfest at Duck River. Then March 1st and 2nd was the Toilet Bowl. Then you were back at Duck River this past weekend.
Craig, did you see the trophy? Do you see the trophy for the Toilet Bowl? Have you seen it? They give you an actual toilet for winning the race, man. I mean, it is promoting at its best.
Yeah, it's super cool. I wish we would have got one, but.
that race was won by T.J. Herndon, was it, right?
Yes, yep. Mm-hmm. T.J. Herndon won that race.
Well, she's coming down to see you in a couple of weeks, Chris, so actually next weekend.
Oh, you're going to come down to the Battle of the States and go after the championship belt, right? This is the belt.
Yeah, that's the plan. Yeah, we love coming down there and running it. Why not? So, you know, we had that weekend open on the schedule, and my dad, you know, he loves coming down. He actually won Battle of the States a couple of years ago whenever y'all still ran the clip cars. So we decided to put that race on the schedule, and as long as everything goes good this weekend, we should hopefully have two cars down there next weekend.
Now,
yeah,
Krista,
awesome.
You posted something on your page about Purple Rain. I didn't get a chance to read it all. Explain that.
So Purple Rain is my race car. And last year, whenever we were putting Purple Rain together, which is a doghouse chassis, and we were getting ready to go to the Talladega, the Ice Bowl last year, and we had gotten it wrapped, and we were just sitting there, me and my parents were talking, and, you know, we're like, you know, everyone names their car. So all my other cars had been black and blue, and, you know, we named them Black Beauty, which is, you know, simple name. And we're like, well, what are we going to name this one? You can't name this one Black Beauty either, so... We were, you know, going back and forth, and then my mom, she's like, what about Purple Rain? And we all just kind of, you know, you get that look in your eyes, and you're like, yep, it's Purple Rain. So it's kind of just stuck, you know, everybody knows, whenever they see my car, that's Purple Rain, and it just kind of stuck around the races, and, you know, so that's my car, it's Purple Rain.
That is cool. That is a cool nickname. Driver introduction, you ought to come out to that. By Prince, that would be even better.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
So make that happen next weekend, Chris.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Will they say her name and have the Purple Rain in the background? I'm gonna remember that one, Craig.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that is. That's cool. I'm glad the things you know. So now, Krista, you've been traveling up and down these roads a long time. I think you're a third generation driver.
I am third generation.
Wow. Now, this is going to be the fun segment of the interview. I know that you've traveled a lot. Give us that one memory that kind of stands out where things didn't go so right. We always talk about the good times. We always talk about the fun times. But I had an experience one time going out to a race, and I got sat down by my boss, and he said, those are the times that where you sat on the side of the road for 5.5 hours. Those are the times that you'll never forget about, and they'll always be good conversation starters. So we're going to go into a conversation starter for you. Tell us that one time that stands out that you were maybe on the side of the road or just had a completely reckless night. Things just did not go the way that you planned.
Okay, the first one that comes to mind is whenever this was a few years ago. We were running with KMSA. Cajun Minnesota Association. We were in, first time ever to Livonia, Georgia. We got in a wreck on a restart, and it was a two-night show. We were racing Livonia that Friday night, and we're going to Tocoa that Saturday night, and we got in a wreck that the Friday night Livonia on a restart, and in the process of a wreck, somehow or another, my arm had gotten messed up, and we thought that I had broken my arm. So, along with also the car being pretty tore up, and, you know, we were running for points. We were in Georgia. You know, we live in Tennessee. We're like, we have to make this show tomorrow to be still a contender. We were the rookie of the year. We were pretty up there in points. They were, like, running top five, top ten. And so we were like, all right, we're going to go back to the hotel. You know, my dad and then they fixed the car in the trailer in the hotel parking lot the next day. And, you know, I iced my arm pretty good. We ace wrapped it up, and we went to Dakota, and we had a pretty good finish. And that's one thing that definitely sticks out to me. You know, sometimes you got to make the best out of bad situations, you know. And I'll never forget, you know, my dad and them, I think we were staying at, like, the Holiday Inn. And I look out the window, and my dad and them had unloaded the race car in the parking lot, was out there fixing it and getting it ready to go that night to race.
Now, weather has been a big issue the last couple of years down in the South area. You've gotten your boots pretty dirty a couple of times. Tell us about that experience out at the Why Not Motorsports Park last year.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely a very muddy experience. I think that's probably the muddiest I've ever been. It took us 12 hours. Well, let me correct that. It took my dad 12 hours to clean our truck, trailer, race car, and our four-wheeler and buggy that first weekend from Why Not. That was definitely an experience. I don't think I've ever been to a dirt track and it'd be that muddy before. But, you know, we always make the best of it. But, you know, I hope to never be at a track and it'd be that muddy again.
Now, you did some live feed videos, and that's kind of how I remember it, too. The one thing about a racer, they can make the best out of any situation if they all are having fun, and that's something that I think that the Travis team, y'all really believe in that, right? It's a family deal.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, definitely a family thing for us. You know, growing up, you know, that's what we did is, you know, during the week it was every, you know, whenever you got out of school, if I didn't have, I used to play softball, if I didn't have ball practice or a game, we were down at the race shop getting ready for the weekends. And, you know, Friday nights when we were younger, it was a big thing for everybody to come down to the race shop and us all hang out and get the cars ready to go. And then, you know, Saturday nights, Saturdays it was all day at the racetrack, you know. So growing up, that's all I knew. And, you know, that's still basically all I know now. And, you know, we wouldn't have it any other way. And, you know, the past, you know, last year and this year so far, we've had some bad luck. But at the end of the day, you know, we're here, we're having fun, you know, we're making memories, and we're all together, and we're doing it. And that's how we look at it, you know, no matter if we don't get the checkered flag at the end of the night or the trophy or the money, we still have those memories to hold on to and take with us, you know, to the next track, and, you know, we'll just try again then. But it's a family thing for us, and that's what I think, you know, makes me love it so much, too, is my whole family does it, and we do it all together, and it just makes it even more, you know, special to me.
Tell us what age you were when you changed your very first oil on the race car. I know this has got to be something.
I honestly don't remember. I was probably pretty young. I remember, you know, being a young little girl crawling up underneath the race car on the creeper with my dad, you know, begging for him to let me get dirty.
You're right.
You know, come back home and mom be like, oh, y'all need to change outside on the porch or hose off, you know. But golly, I'd say probably younger than 10.
What's on the agenda this year? Of course, you've got a partnership with Racetech that you're able to get a lot of notes. It's kind of a deal where you can share data basically with a lot of other of these cars that are there with Racetech. What are the expectations for this year, and do you feel like you're getting closer to that win?
Yeah, definitely. I think we're definitely on the right path. I honestly just think we need a little luck on our side. Every time we get a good run, it's just something happens, and I just know that's part of it, you know. Just got to keep our heads high and just keep, you know, trekking along, and it's there. We can feel it, you know, we can smell it and breathe it, but we just got to stay positive and know that it's right there. But this year, you know, we hope to, you know, we're running the two series, the Quicksilver and the Mid-South Big Ten. We hope to have pretty good finishes in the points. You know, finish pretty good up in there. We hope to catch some wins. And also, too, we have a 602 Crate Lake model car that we're hoping to bring out some probably be towards the middle, towards the end of the year, that we get that out and play with that a little bit this year. You know, that's something I've always wanted to do, is run a late model. So finally kind of talked my dad into it and, you know, let me test the waters on that a little bit too.
Has there been any certain driver that you've raced against, maybe a legend or, you know, as we were talking earlier, anybody with 200 wins is an American badass. Have you had those kind of small accomplishments where you've beaten somebody out on the track that maybe you didn't think you could beat, or, you know, not necessarily you didn't win, you just had a better performance that night than maybe somebody that challenges you to race harder?
I don't know if I've necessarily beat them, but some of the ones that I've raced against that have, you know, made me feel like, wow, you know, that's pretty cool. And David Earl Gentry, you know, he's a legend around here. And, you know, he's helped me out a lot of my car the past couple of years, and, you know, I'm thankful for that. So being able to run door-to-door with him a couple of times, you know, kind of makes me feel pretty good. And, you know, that made me feel pretty special whenever I got to do that.
Craig Moore.
Sorry, I'm here. I had my microphone muted. What made you guys, Crystal, what made you guys decide, hey, we want to go try the Quicksilver Series? What was the motivation behind that?
Quicksilver, all the races are within 2 to 3 hours of where we live.
I am so very sorry. I swear I thought I was on mute. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're fine. But no, the Quicksilver races, majority of them are all within 2 to 3 hours of us. You know, we love to travel. Don't get us wrong. You know, we're all about traveling. But, you know, sometimes whenever we get summertime, my dad, you know, he works an 80-hour-plus job sometimes. And sometimes he has to work half days on Saturday, so it makes it a little bit harder for us to travel, you know, those 4-hour-plus races. So our Quicksilver races, they're, you know, most of them, except for like a couple of weekends, which are at Clark's for, you know, one-day shows, and they're within 2 to 3 hours of us. So, you know, that's really drawn us to race with them. Plus, too, you know, the payouts. And, you know, you may have a $50 entry fee, but, you know, your starting money is at least $100 or more. So, you know, you're getting back a little bit more. They're closer to home, and their points, you know, fund that they're promising is looking pretty good towards the end of the year, too. So.
Oh, that's always important. Money is always
important. Craig, hold on. Plus, you get to race more. You get to race more. I mean, she's got a schedule out. You know what she's going to be doing. This is just a reason to go to the track more. This family loves racing, Craig.
No, and I get that, and I get that. Now, you said your dad works up to 80 hours a week. What do you do for a day job?
I work at a doctor's office. That's right.
Nice. So, how has your racing helped you at work and vice versa? And what is it?
I would say that racing has helped me. Well, I can say this for both. I think that both have helped my social skills. I used to be kind of a shy person. I don't know if it's hard to believe, but it helps me to, you know, I can go out, you know, where at my job I talk to people I don't know every day and have to carry conversations with them, you know, whether it be patients or companies or, you know, whichever. And, you know, same goes with racing. You know, somebody may walk up to me at the racetrack that I've never seen before, and I can carry on a 30-minute conversation with them. And, you know, I think both kind of play a part to each other, you know,
right,
my social skills, and, you know, made me feel a little bit more confident talking to people and, you know, not have that such shy, you know, talking to strangers.
Interesting.
Definitely not shy to talk here on Race Chat Live, and how awesome it is to have Krista Travis on as our first guest of the year. Of course, we're pulling for her. We're hoping that she gets that big win pretty soon here. There's a lot of big races. Tell us the one that you would like to win the most. Circle that one on the calendar that Krista, you dream about every night of taking home that belt or that ring or that check. Or tell us that one that you're chasing.
Street Stock Nationals at Why Not.
That seems to come up a lot, Craig Moore. I don't know if you noticed that, but that's kind of the crown jewel of the South.
I hear that. That's kind of like up here north. We have a couple of them. We have Eastern States down in Middletown, New York, and then we have they actually got a big one coming up in August too. But we have a couple of big ones at Albany, Saratoga, Speedway up my way, and those are the ones that the drivers around here want to win. And then, of course, the big one up in Syracuse. So, who are the people that helps you the most? And on your race team, obviously, besides your mom and your dad, but who else helps you out quite a bit?
That would definitely be David Earl, Dentry, and Dino. They help us out quite a bit. You know, they have their own car to get ready, and they still come down and help us. You know, if we're pushing it to make it to the weekend, you know, getting ready. My boyfriend, Dalton, he's never been around racing, so this is a new experience for him. But, you know, ever since he's been in the picture, he's been all in and, you know, ready to go and been at the shop every night I've been. So I can't ask for nothing better than that. Our good friend David Cook, he's down there as much as he can be. He has a home racing career, and he's still, you know, he's down there with us helping us and goes to the races with us. Bobby and Courtney Johnson, Jeremiah Lovett, Jason and Isaac Day. I mean, there's just so many people, too, who come up at the races and help us. You know, these are the ones who help us, you know, all the time. And then plus we have all my Alabama friends who help us, you know, and everywhere we go. Whenever we travel out of town, we have the people who come up and help us.
Krista,
that's
this
awesome.
Question's kind of hard because, you know, racing is life. But what humanitarian deed or what would you do if you didn't have racing? What is it that's outside of racing that kind of drives you?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, racing has been my whole life. You know, as I've gotten a little bit older, you know, you kind of start to see more in life. And racing is still number one to me, and it always will be. But, you know, whenever you get older, you kind of start to see more things that you want to do in life. You know, you kind of start to slow down. And you start to realize you want to, you know, maybe one day get married and have a family. And, you know, my career has also kind of been coming into play, like, you know, what I want to do, what I want to go back to school for. You know, I want to go further along in my career. So stuff like that's been kind of on my mind lately, you know. So that's kind of what drives me.
What is on the horizon for you as far as racing? What are your goals in racing?
My goals in racing, I'd definitely like to pick up a points championship. You know, definitely several, you know, wins. My ultimate goal is to one day hopefully, you know, move up to super late model. And that's what I've always dreamed of ever since I was a little girl, which, you know, being like a world outlaw as late model driver. You know, but, you know, hopefully one day that'll come. But, you know, if it doesn't, you know, I have all of my memories that I've had to look back on, you know, and this will be my 7th year of racing, and, you know, just all the memories I have so far, you know, and hopefully I still have 7 more years left in me, you know. But that's kind of what I'm looking for. It's point championship, a lot of feature wins, and, you know, a whole lot more memories and, you know, moving on up in the classes.
I know right now that Lucas Oil and World of Outlaws needs a little diversity, right? She would be the perfect candidate, Craig Moore, to start a super late model career. We need to be talking to Lucas Oil and World of Outlaws and find out why the heck they haven't already found Krista Travis on the mound. I mean, look, she's from a city that's been known to push out some of the best dirt track drivers around. This girl is dirt. No, I didn't mean that in a bad way.
Open mouth?
No.
See, that's us Northerners. We don't do that, Chris.
It's my ass fault. I'm sorry. It's my ass fault.
No, I agree with you, though.
Thank you.
That's the first time anybody's agreed with him on this show in a very long time, Krista.
Usually he doesn't
give me a chance to interject, so that way he can always be right. but I tend to agree with him. Tell us about your sponsors.
Oh, yeah. My sponsors are BH Holmes Construction, Gibbs Brothers Construction, Platinum Renovations, your local garage and barn builder joined us this year. Dixon Plumbing also joined us this year. Cornrail Tools by Brad Calvert, Carter Transmission, and Pittman Equipment Repair. And, of course, you know, a big shout-out to my mom and dad for all they do and all their support they give me.
Yeah, because, you know, we say this all the time, and whether it's racing or hosting a racing show, we couldn't do what we do without our family and friends' support. So
I'm telling you, Craig, it definitely, and the reason why you heard my outburst earlier is because, of course, I'm kind of pulling double duty here. I'm doing a show, and you can't say you babysit your own kids, so I'll just leave it at this, that my wife is at work and I'm having to watch the kids. So, that's what we do, and that, you know, it doesn't matter the budget. It matters what's in the heart, and we chase it just as much as the Travises and other families. And, you know, without the family support, Craig, none of this is possible.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Don't let him lie to you. He agreed with me again, Krista. I hope you keep it down now.
Well, because you mentioned family. You mentioned family, so of course
absolutely.
I'm going to agree with it. Of course I'm going to agree with it.
Chris, it's been great having you on here tonight. And as I walk over Craig once again, I do want to thank you.
Hey, Chris,
and I know
that
you have a lot of people that are listening in to our show tonight, and hopefully they've enjoyed it as well. And we have you on again. I think this is your second or third time on the show here at Race Chat Live.
Yeah, I think it's like the second or third, one of those.
Yeah, we wanted to have you on last year because you and I spoke last year about this. And you were like, yeah, I want to do it. But then we got so busy booking. And so I said to Chris early this season, I said, we are going to get Krista on this year somehow, some way. I don't care if I got to boot one of your guests to the following week. So.
Hey, well, I sure do appreciate y'all thinking of me and having me on, you know. I love getting to talk, you know, about what I love so much, you know, what my family loves so much, and, you know, about what I do. So I greatly appreciate y'all having me on.
You're very welcome. Listen, I've got one piece of advice if Dalton is listening or if he's right there with you. He probably shouldn't put those crashing memes on your page.
Oh, Craig, come on. You're always talking somebody's Facebook page.
It's a new relationship. He probably shouldn't do that.
You get a foot up the pipe and it ain't the tailpipe.
They all pick on me around here that I like the wall too much. So, you know, they kind of rubbed off on him. So he needs to just cut that off real quick.
Chris, why don't you real quick, why don't you ask her some of those questions we used to ask her since she brought it up. She does like the hot top side, not the bottom side. Why don't you ask her some of those other ones and see what she says?
Oh, Craig, I'd have to pull out the old notebook and from last year. And we'll save that. As a matter of fact, I think we pulled this one on Krista before, but yeah, definitely, Krista. You know, when you're out at the racetrack, do you like it tacky? What's your ideal track, and where's your racing groove at?
Oh, my ideal track is slick and right up against the wall. That's why they put up those, you know, they crash into the wall memes, because they make fun of me because I'm always right up against the wall. And Dalton actually posted those because I actually scared him at his first race at Clarksville because I was so close to the wall. So
she's got a little sprint car driver in her, Craig Moore. I mean, you know, that's
typically
where they run is up near that wall there. Have you ever had thoughts? You know, I heard you say super late models. Has there ever been any interest in a sprint car?
Oh, it definitely comes to my mind. You know, as a race driver, I always, you know, every time I go to the races and there's a car that I've never raced before, I'm like, ooh, I'd love to race that, you know. And, you know, I'm always down to drive anything and try anything at least once. You know, you may not like it, but I'd always try it at least one time.
All right. Well, thank you so much again for being on here. We'll try to get you squeezed in there in the middle of the year, near the end of the year. Krista Travis, it's always great having you on.
Hey, thank y'all so much. Y'all have a good night. Hope to see y'all some this year.
right. Thank you.
You too. Good night.
Bye.
Craig Moore, I have to say you do a hell of a job at booking good guests, man. Couldn't have done that interview without you and the hard, diligent work that you put in behind Race Chat Live, man. I tell you what, you made this show what it is, and I know that I give you a hard time and talk over you a lot of times, but, man, if you didn't think that I don't appreciate your hard work, man, you are kidding yourself. That was a great interview, guys, and if y'all are tuning in, we're going to switch it back over to the NASCAR talk side. But I do want to shout out real quick. The racetracks have opened here in the South. Columbus Speedway raced this past weekend. Coming up this weekend is the USCS Sprint Car Races at Hattiesburg Speedway. And in 2 weeks, not this coming up weekend, but the next weekend, March 23rd, it'll be the Battle of the States at Why Not Motorsports Park. The season officially opens, and I go back to the mic. Man, I'm getting excited. Still a lot to talk about on the racing side. Of course, Joseph Newgarden won the Indy race. Eli Tomac was the winner in the Monster Energy Motocross this past weekend. The racing in Florida's kind of calmed down now. I think the guys are going out west. You know, race season's here upon us, Craig. Let's talk a little bit more about this upcoming week at California. You there? Hello?
You might have muted yourself.
I guess, did we lose
probably
him?
Probably not.
Did we lose our mic?
No, I muted myself.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I want to thank Jason real quick. He can shut it off now. Somebody's playing Purple Rain in the background.
Yep. Been in my head ever since I said it.
Purple Rain.
Chris, listen, Chris, I don't know what you do for a day job, but I know it ain't singing.
Hey, all right, Mr. Karaoke.
Listen, I was just on NASCAR.com a little while ago.
Right? That's where we get a lot of our news from, believe it or not.
Well, yeah, because Jayski is no more. But
right.
Kevin Harvick sees big things for a driver who has recently switched teams. And that would be Miss Haley Deegan.
Oh, yeah, big thumbs up to that, right? And Haley Deegan, I believe, will be joining Venturini Motorsports for some upcoming races here. So
you
big
have
happening.
No idea. You have no idea how glad I'm here. I'm glad to hear that because on the 110 Nation Sports Show, we usually get every last Venturini Motorsport driver on the show. And so I'm hoping that means we will see Haley Deegan on the 110 Nation Sports Show at some point. You have no idea when I saw that how happy I was.
You know, she's coming. She won that race out there at Las Vegas, the ARCA race, and boy, if it didn't catapult things in the right direction for young Haley Deegan. 17 years old, but she's definitely could be considered the next superstar in the sport. Definitely still at a young age, but when you have a girl who has that kind of car control and can be marketed as well as she can, I'm telling you, the skies are the fences for this young lady. And high hopes, you know, we're not going to give up on Natalie Decker, but it's good to have more girl power added to this. The more the girls, the better the chance of one of them becoming the next superstar of cup racing, or maybe even IndyCar. You know, I don't want to see it stop here with NASCAR. I want to see it go into Formula One. I want to see it go into IndyCar. Because I think that this sport is a multi-diversible sport. People from all around can race cars. I think it's something we're born with.
I think so too, and I think that. I shared a meme with everybody earlier this week, and it was something about she holds up and she does a selfie, and I don't think she did it. I think somebody else did it. But she goes, "Hi, I'm Haley Deegan. I win races, unlike Danica," or something like that. And I thought to myself,
well,
young lady, if you, I know you didn't make that, but that is so true. I mean, Danica has did wonders for the sport of NASCAR. You can't discount that.
We've gotten closer and closer. Dale McCowart and Shauna Robinson, Patty Moise, they were never superstars of the sport. Danica brought something to the sport that no other female had ever brought before, and that was the popularity behind her. And, yes, she was a winner. She won in IndyCar. Her Cup experience and her Nationwide experience, or her Xfinity experience, sure. She was never made to drive a stock car. She was given an opportunity to drive a stock car. But these young girls that are coming in behind her, she paved the way, whether or not we want to admit it or not. Wrecked race cars and all, she paved the way for these young ladies to be given a chance to wheel a stock car and are get, you know, the earlier that they are in age, the more the possibility that they actually season into a great driver. The one thing that was always against Danica was that the fact that she did not have stock car driving experience. She had open wheel experience, and that didn't necessarily transfer over as well unless she was at a plate track or a road course race.
Right. And that was unfair to her. And we've said that on multiple occasions about Danica, that if she had been given more time in the truck series, if she had been given time in the truck series, more time in Xfinity, she might have been a better Cup driver. But it was more important to get her up to the Cup series for not exposure for her, because people knew who she was, because
she was already a superstar.
Right, she was already top shelf in the bar, but they didn't.
NASCAR needs a Courtney Force. That's it. You know, there was NHRA drag racers, female drag racers, but until we got Courtney Force, we didn't line them up to be you know, gender neutral. But when Courtney Force come along in NHRA, we realized, hey, this is anybody's sport. It's not just a male sport. This is anybody's sport. And I think that, you know, Danica paved the way for one of these up-and-coming stars to be able to do the same thing. Where Danica come in as a superstar, NASCAR is going to make one of these females a superstar. And it's going to be,
yes,
she's going to earn it.
Right. But, all right, let's change topics for a second, for a little bit. Let's talk about stage points for 2019. Now, I've been giving you a lot of grief over the last couple of weeks since the start of the season about your boy Kevin Harvick, the Blue Oval leader. Well, I shouldn't even say the Blue Oval leader. But
wow, being critical of Kevin Harvick.
Stage point wins. Now, he's not won a race all season.
Right.
He has 2 stage wins, 53 stage points. Second place, your reigning defending Monster Energy Cup Series driver, Joey Logano, has 47.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Blaney, 38 stage points. Now, him and Harvick won the same amount of stages, but Logano has more points because he finished higher and he won.
Right.
And he won.
Right, based
Blaney,
off of his overall performance.
Correct. Kyle Busch, Mr. 199, is sitting at 4th in stage points wins. So, if Harvick is steady and consistent, if he doesn't win a race up until we get to the cutoff race, which I believe is what, Chicagoland?
No, not this year. It'll be Indy.
It'll be Indy.
Mm-hmm. You're 2 years behind, Craig.
I know. I was just testing. He will still make the chase based on playoff points.
Yeah, I mean, that's how critical these playoff points are. So even if they're struggling at Stuart Haas, Harvick can still pave his way to get into the chase. And you know, people are panicking at SHR. People are panicking on Harvick's team because we've gone to his three of his favorite tracks and he hasn't gotten a win. You know, I'm one of those. I'm not panicking. He's been running up front, guys. I mean, you know, it's not like he's stepping on his own toes. It's not like he's getting pit road penalties. It's not like his car chief's getting thrown out of the race. Harvick is right where he needs to be. Yeah, it's, you know, we've had four different winners, four different races, four different winners. A new rules package, which, you know, I've heard people say don't call a new rules package and all this, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's, you know, Harvick's, but he's right there in third place, guys. And as you said, he's been consistent. He's won two stages already this year. And, you know, it seems to be that the standings, Craig Moore, you know, they talk about there wasn't going to be a big three this year. Well, you got Kyle Busch in first. You got Joey Logano in second. Kevin Harvick in third. You got Denny Hamlin in fourth, Martin Truex in fifth, Kyle Larson, Eric Amarola, Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, and Ricky Stenhouse in the top ten. You know, outside of your four winners, you kind of have the big three there. I mean, you know, Truex is in the fifth spot. You've got Harvick in the third spot. You got Busch in the first spot. There's literally, you know, a couple of positions away from being on top of each other again. I'm just not seeing the parity that I think that that we were expecting this year. I'm not saying that it's a disappointment at all, but when you start looking through the top 10 and definitely the top 20, some of these guys just don't feel like they're where they're supposed to be. Kurt Busch is in the ninth spot. Ricky Stenhouse in the 10th spot. You know, Eric Amarola in the 7th spot. How about a good run? And Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson has been fast all year long. I think that the Larson CGR team is the Chevrolet, is the bow ties the only good thing that they have going, other than some consistency there from Richard Childress Racing as well. I don't think by any means Chevy is washed out. I think that there may be some issues at the Hendrick Motorsports, but really, you know, when we start pinpointing the big three teams, I would just wonder if we're not, you know, counting ourselves short by not putting CGR in with the Stuart Haas Racing, the Penske, the Joe Gibbs, and then right there with Chip Ganassi Racing.
Well, I'll tell you who surprises me. Well, first off, I need to ask you, when you get in a fight, do you fight with your helmet on or your helmet off?
Look, Mama always said don't be stupid, and if somebody's going to come at you, you know, I played football. So one thing about it, when you got to roughing up on each other,
a lot.
The last thing that you do is take off that helmet. And I think that that's, you know, just, I mean, if a man's going to hit you in the head and you have a helmet on, it's not, you're not the dumbass. He is.
I wish we would have had good old JR to call that fight. That would have been
Jim Ross. Now, yeah. I tell you what. Now, how about that? I don't think I've ever remembered a fight going on in qualifying. Of course, we're talking about the Daniel Suarez, Michael McDowell. We kind of jumped ship there, and as we remember the epic throwdown, Suarez was upset and went to Michael McDowell's pit. Michael McDowell was getting out of his race car, never took his helmet off, and I'll be honest with you, it seemed like the moment Suarez stepped in McDowell's pit, McDowell said, "I'm not playing with you," and threw the first punch, which, you know, based off of Michael McDowell's character, that's kind of unusual. The guy's always been pretty cool, calm, and collective. One of my favorite Michael McDowell's quotes is, "I went off into turn one and two, it was real good, and then I got off into three and four, my funding fell off." So that's, you know, Michael McDowell's been a character. I think that he was out of character, but, I mean, it gives us something to talk about. Could we see a young Juan Pablo Montoya in Daniel Suarez? I mean, the guy looked like he was ready to throw down. He actually got Michael McDowell on the ground.
Well, I think that now Suarez is with a top-tier team. There is no doubt in my mind that they're giving him good equipment. He feels like he was wronged by he didn't say this, I'm saying. He felt like he was wronged by a lower-tier team driver, and he was going over to show his disappointment. I think it's about time that he starts to get that Spanish temper going and stop taking any crap and do what he needs to do. Otherwise, he's going to be not taken serious. He's going to be taken as the Jeff Gordons of the world. And not saying that Jeff Gordon is a bad guy. What I'm saying is Jeff Gordon was always politically correct. And that's the problem with NASCAR today, in my eyes, is that NASCAR says boys will be boys, but then when stuff like this happens, everybody tends to get upset. I think this is great. Why is it
great?
You
got to be over here huffing and puffing because there was no penalties given to either driver. NASCAR did what they said they was going to do. You know, boys be boys, and we got something to talk about.
Right. And that's exactly it. If NASCAR put the handcuffs on these guys and said, oh, well, you can't do that, well, then it's not a boys will be boys mentality. It's we need to keep this stuff under wraps. I think that this shows the pure love that these guys have for competing in my eyes, and it's ultra important, because if this didn't happen, we wouldn't be talking about this in this segment. And I think it's phenomenal.
It's great. I like his attitude, man. I mean, he said that if you don't give him respect, he's not going to give you respect. Michael McDowell, I think that there's some issues with the Ford camp and how Michael McDowell feels about other Ford drivers. Basically, that, you know, Front Row Motorsports is the least of Ford's worries, not the least of their problems, the least of their worries. And, you know, it kind of disgruntled him. So having him in altercation with the Ford driver doesn't surprise me. I think that the Ford camp is kind of upset still of what his comments were after Daytona. And so, you know, this kind of is a build-up to it. But, you know, look at Suarez, who has a lot to lose. Obviously, a sponsorship's not one of them, though. And I like his attitude. I hope that he uses that. I felt like that at the start of the race, he was so uptight from the whole situation that, you know, it kind of he got started off on the wrong foot there. But as the race went on, they seemed to be able to find some speed in the 41. And he was actually two laps down, and I think to finish the race either one lap down or on the tail end of the lead lap.
Yeah, I just think it's great. I mean, getting on to the fight thing, I think it's great. I think it's a good way to build interest not only in qualifying but in the race itself. Because honestly, the big numbers for the races every year are Daytona, Talladega, the Roval now. And you notice, because the Roval is no longer the inaugural race. Say that 10 times quick.
Inaugural.
Right, that too.
Yeah.
they're not talking about it a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas last year, because they were still putting it together, still building the track, that was a topic of every week, every night on every show across NASCAR land. And I think that as we get closer to it, after we get through Charlotte in May, I think then they'll start talking about it. But like last year, they started talking about it at the beginning of the season because it was being added to last year.
Well, I think that news this year is about the Nashville Speedway and the Nashville Fairgrounds, because obviously there's some partnerships, and it could be a date transferred from maybe a Dover race that actually puts the Nashville Speedway, the big speedway, back on the Cup schedule, I believe, for the very first time. Of course, there's two tracks in Nashville. There's the Fairgrounds, and then there's the big Super Speedway. And from my understanding, They're in talks to bring a cup race to Nashville, and I would expect it to be at the big speedway. So, you know, NASCAR is definitely still giving us something to crave. We wanted some parity last year. We wanted some different tracks, and Charlotte did well with the Roval. The playoff picture is as up in the air this year as it was last year just because we had one race at the Roval. I think the one thing, the notebook that we have from there is everybody's going to wreck their car. Everybody's going to, there's going to be dents on everybody's car by the end of the race.
Yeah, and I think that now that, like you said, now that it's over, people aren't so excited about it now, this new Nashville thing. And I've even seen rumors of or people hoping that North Wilkesboro.
North Wilkesboro. Also Rockingham. Rockingham is the new one that they're talking a lot about. Of course, North Wilkesboro, it would need a lot of renovation. The track is dilapidated. The infield care center completely fallen in. But now Rockingham, the Rock, it's hosted its last race in 2012. The state of North Carolina has invested $8 million into renovations of the racetrack and possibly a new pave as well. And it's not just on the racing side that the government's going to help out here. They've also signed an event manager that's going to bring popular bands and stuff to the racetrack while it's, not being used. In other words, for a vendor location. And some of the bands that I've already seen on there are some of our favorite heavy metal bands, Judas Priest and a few others there that have already signed on to play a concert coming up. So big things happening. And that's where, you know, it makes our job a lot easier to fill up 2 hours worth of news is when NASCAR is moving in the right direction and all these little stories add up, man. I mean, you know, we've got a lot to talk about, and it's really good considering that Jason and I have, Mr. CJ Sports and I, we've worked together now for, I think, 5 seasons, and there's been at times to where we've had to fill the hour. Not so much here already in the start of the 2019 race season. We've been able to fill up a lot of time talking about a lot of different things.
Absolutely. Let's talk about California this weekend. Do you think that Happy will finally get the monkey off of his back and bring home a W?
Well, we're going to another track that's got a lot of character in the asphalt, being an older track surface. California has been a great racetrack the last few years. I'm not sure if that's one of Happy Harvick's favorite racetracks to go to. It should be his home track there. I'm looking forward to it. I like old surfaces. I like it when it's hot and sticky. There's a lot to look forward to this weekend with the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series invading Southern California. How cool is it that we get to go to Southern California and go out there with the movie stars and have a race, right?
Well, I'm going to give you my winner. I'm going to give you my pick right now. Are you ready?
You're going
to be a little shocked. Not really. I want to say Kyle Busch wins it out there. Busch wins it out there this weekend.
Busch.
For his 200th overall win and his 53rd on the Cup side.
Yeah. You know, he said that he's going to retire from Xfinity at race 100 when he gets his 100th win. I didn't think that we thought that he would move in that quickly. And it seems like he's maybe running out of time. And then the Truck Series is all he's going to race in. And I guess he's going to set a certain goal there. But we might see more of Kyle Busch focusing on the Cup side. I don't know whether or not that's going to bring more wins or less wins. I'm really just not sure. But to hear him give his schedule with the triple header a couple weeks ago in Las Vegas, my goodness, the guy likes to stay busy, that's for sure. But, you know, Kyle Busch is a good pick. I think that he's going to be strong there. I've got to look at what's going on with the Penske cars. And, you know, Ryan Blaney almost made it 3-for-3 for Penske.
Yeah,
but I expect Joey Logano to – yeah. Hello?
No, you expect Joey Logano to –
yeah, I expect Joey Logano to have a great race and possibly come home with a second win of the season. Logano seems to be the man to beat. He's the guy that won the championship. He's carried that momentum into this season. He's been strong all year long. And so, you know, Logano, he's always ran well out of California. I expect him to do the same this weekend.
Interesting. CJ, are you there? He might have fallen asleep. He's old.
No, I'm here.
Who do you got for the weekend?
Oh, I'm going to go different. Everything tells me Kyle Busch, but I'm gonna go Larson just so I add variety. We could pick Kyle Busch every week and be
the high side hustler, Kyle Larson.
So I'm going to go with Larson. I'm hoping, even though I'm a Busch fan, I'm hoping a little variety this weekend.
And one thing about Larson is he's going to race on the side of the track that ain't nobody else racing, which probably is going to be the better side of the track anyway, because the most beaten down path is always the path that they take. Larson seems to like to take the other path. And so, you know, we could definitely see a lot of riding the rails by the Larson number 42 team as we roll into the Fontana Raceway or California Raceway Auto Club is, I think, the actual name of the racetrack. So. Yep, definitely. Well, we're always trying to plan that next trip. Of course, we've got Talladega coming up. Looking forward to getting out there. Mr. CJ Sports, please tell me, do you have any good news? Are you going to be able to make your way over to Talladega with us in April?
I that shouldn't be an issue. It depends on what – the only thing that holds me up is, for those that don't know, and a lot of people don't know my personal life on this show, When I took over the store that I run right now, we were doing upper 30s, lower 40,000 a month. I have taken that store, well, my staff and I have taken the store to doing over $90,000 a month. And so we almost tripled the sales in that store. And we thought we were secure and finally had got off the list of being shut down as our company is, I'm not going to say downsizing, but they're making bigger, better stores and competing with our competitors. And we just found out last week that our store is going to officially be shut in April. So I have a lot of stuff in preparation of trying, transferring, finding my employees' homes and everything else so they can continue working. So that is the only obstacle I have coming up. But it should not be an issue. I will be at Myrtle Beach Speedway next weekend as the Open Modified Series makes its way to Myrtle Beach Speedway. I love that track. And I've also been approved, this will be the first time I've done the day race at Bristol, but April 7th, I've been approved to go out to Bristol, baby, and go visit the Last Coliseum and do the day race. I've done many night races, but this will be my first day race.
You might want to take a boat out there to Bristol. They've had a lot of rain, and Bristol's been underwater for quite a while now. Hopefully they'll be able to get all that drained out.
The only thing great about the only thing that was great about this last weekend with the daylight savings, we got 1 hour less of rain. But we're in the same boat as you, Chris. I think it's rained like every day since November or whatever. Like it's been, I've never seen this. I especially coming from an area that we were flooded, and we were literally like a island here in my town. We were flooded all the way around. It took you like 2 hours to get out of this and go if you had to go anywhere. Like it was, I don't know how many remember us being flooded, but. I had never, ever in the existence of me living in North Carolina ever want to hear the word drought ever used again. I have had my fair share of rain over the last year to 2 years, we're in the same boat. It managed to rain for a couple minutes again today. Like, we just couldn't go one day without rain.
All right, well, race fans.
Soggy weather for sure. Soggy weather.
Listen, this weekend is St. Patrick's Day weekend. And
make sure you wear
I'm
green.
Excited. Make sure you wear green.
And drink green beer.
And drink green beer.
I might just go ahead and stay the night in Myrtle Beach and make a St. Patty weekend out of it.
There you go. So Motor Team Music has a couple of things going on this weekend. First off, first and foremost, at the Via Rotterdam Mall in Rotterdam, New York, is the annual car show for the local track. What is that noise?
What is that? What is that, Chris?
Do what?
All right, he muted. He muted himself.
Yeah, well, oh, it's my vape,
what
y'all.
What was that noise?
I'm sorry. I thought I was on mute there. It's my vape. Yeah, I got a vape.
What do you have? You probably have a man bun, too.
What if I did?
Oh, Lord.
So anyway,
I keep it covered up in my T-bog.
So what was I saying? Oh yeah, this weekend at the Rotterdam Mall in Rotterdam, New York, is the Northeast Car Show for our area here for the local racetracks. Albany, Saratoga will be represented. Fonda Speedway, Lynn Ridge. Go on out and see all the cars, meet all the drivers. One of the cars that Morchi Music sponsors will be there. Harry Schaefer, Michael Jackson. Not the Michael Jackson, but the, our Michael Jackson will be there with his race car. So go on out and get some stuff. And then, like I said, in a couple of weeks, Orange County, New York, Fair Speedway media director Jake, and he doesn't work at State Farm, will be joining us to talk about Orange County Fair Speedway's 100th racing season coming up this year, and they're excited for that. And he's going to tell us all about CJ. I don't know if you heard about this, but I don't know if you heard it in the beginning of the show, but Orange County Fair Speedway is putting up $100,000 in prize money for August 15th, 16th, and 17th. That's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday event this year. So we are going to try to make it down for the Saturday race. I've already spoke to him, and we'll be getting media credentials for that. But great things happening here. I'm super excited. And then racing and drums is just around the corner. And let me tell you, I'm excited because I don't work every Friday night now, so I can.
He's excited because Dana was backing up the bread truck. That's really the case there with that beeping in the background.
She's making a cake. She's actually making a cake for her boss. So.
All right. Well, we love you guys, and thank y'all for listening to Race Chat Live. Of course, one last go around, guys. Xfinity Race. Who do you have, Craig?
Cole Custer. Oh wait, is Kyle Busch running this one?
I'm not sure. I think he is.
Because if he is, I'm going with Kyle Busch.
We can't go with cup drivers from now on. No cup drivers. So you got, it's like last year, same rules. You got to pick a non-cup driver.
All right, Cole Custer.
I'm picking Justin Allgaier.
I'm going with Christopher Bell, who had a nice car last weekend. Did they ever decide what it was, if there was something on the track, or he just lost control of him and Allgaier? Like,
no, he just didn't know how to drive.
Well, Allgaier did the same thing, so I'm not understanding. Those two couldn't control, and everybody else behind him was fine. So it was kind of a toss-up of what was really going on, and everybody was confused on was. But they didn't lay down no dry stuff on the track, so I think everybody, to include Harvick and Eric Jones, was all confused on what happened and what didn't happen. And so,
yeah, kind of a weird situation there. Not sure. The car just seemed to kind of kick out. But Bell does not lack any talent, Craig Moore. Christopher Bell is a very talented driver. I don't know if you know about
that's
that.
That's going to be a champion.
He's kind of talented.
I was kind of just being a wise ass.
As a matter of fact, that Jones boy, Eric Jones, might want to watch out because it seems like Christopher Bell is coming after his ride.
Yeah,
we'll have to see. But anyway, race fans, I want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight. It's been a blast. Special thanks to Krista and Nicole Travis from Travis Racing down there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, for joining us tonight. And, hey, Chris, are we doing the show next week, or are we taking the weekend
I think we're going to take the weekend off next week. We're going to play a replay of the show. Craig and I are going to take a week off to get our mojo back. I think that we had a great show this week, though. Kind of sad that we are taking next weekend off, but we already said we were, so let's do it, and then we'll regroup and come back the week after that. So we'll have a lot to talk about, a couple of weeks to catch up on, and be refreshed and ready to go.
All right, we'll see everybody in 2 weeks.
All right, good night.
Be sure to check out our Facebook page, Race Chat Live. You got any questions or any guests you'd like to hear, shoot us an email at racechatlive@gmail.com, and don't forget to like the 110 Nation sports page. We are up to over 1,600 likes. But more importantly, let's get the Race Chat Live page up to like 600 likes by, the end of April.
Sounds good to me. Good night, y'all, and we'll see y'all in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.